Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Applause Radio Show. Tonight we have John Davidson and Paul Gervasi. So we're just waiting for Joanne to call in, and you know, we'll put her through in a few minutes. She must be having trouble contacting John. So I just want to congratulate our friend Richard Skipper. This week he debuted his Richard Skipper Celebrates podcast and radio show. And he was lucky enough to get Leslie Ann Warren. So he did a really fantastic job of being his first time controlling everything all by himself. So he did a really great job. So how's everybody out there tonight? Is everyone concerned about the coronavirus? I hear that even Costco is running out of toilet paper, canned food, and the essential items. So just make sure you stock up on your toilet paper and your, you know, cans of green beans and whatever else you buy, soup. So I don't know what's going on with that. I think it's a little bit overblown with that. So we'll see what happens with that. But I don't know what happened to Joanne. She usually calls in, you know, around 2 minutes before showtime. But tonight she's not there, so, and she does have our guest, John Davidson. Well, let's see, I think we have her on the line now. Is that you, Joanne?
Yes, we've been on the phone for the last 5 minutes waiting to talk to you.
Oh,
anyway,
you didn't show up on the switchboard.
Yeah,
I just thought you were.
Yep, John and I were there.
Okay.
So, evening, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. And we have an amazing show tonight. I am so proud to have our guest tonight. He's a phenomenal. I love him. I grew up with him. I've enjoyed watching him all my whole life. On the phone with us is the incredible, famous entertainer, all-around entertainer, singer, actor, you name it, talk show host. I mean, you name it. He's done it all. John Davidson, welcome to Applause Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us. So much. Thank you.
Hi, JoJo. Hi, John. You found me in my studio.
Oh, excellent.
I did. Hey, John. How's it going?
Hi, yes. John. Just great. I got a date this weekend, so I'm in rehearsal, and it's great to take some time to talk to you.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, where are you going to be? You're going to be at Bull Run Restaurant in Shirley, Massachusetts?
Yeah, I'm going to, I hate to be a name dropper, but I'm going to Shirley, Massachusetts, and at Bull Run Restaurant. I got a new open number. Well, I bet you probably wonder what I'm going to do tonight. That fella after Holland, feeling all night. Finally busted out. See, I was trapped in your TV. Now I'm here to tell you what you're doing to me. You're driving crazy, but I'm about to go in. And it goes along like that.
Nice. I was going to ask you, what kind of material do you do in the shows that you're going to be doing?
Well, a lot of original tunes, and then I do maybe oldies but goodies. Every night, open play, a dream lover will come by. So that's from the
nice.
60s.
Nice.
And I do
crazy songs. I do a lot of John Denver stuff, I guess.
So is it just you and your acoustic guitar, or do you
I'm a one man show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've got a lot of jokes about it, but I think I'm gonna do this Denver tune this week. Lost out alone on some forgotten highway, traveled by many, remembered by a few.
Nice.
It's called Sweet Surrender. And,
very
nice. I've written some crazy songs. Because I'm in my 70s now, I thought I'd be so smart, but I have more questions than answers. Questions like, I wrote this. Questions like, why do men have nipples? How come Tarzan never had a beard? Why do bars have parking lots if I can't drink and drive? And it just goes on like that. It's all the ridiculous questions of life.
Right. I can't believe you're in your 70s. It's amazing. I mean, you are so handsome. I had such a crush on you. And I've got to ask you some questions, if you don't mind. I'm loving
you. Please do. Well, of course.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. You're originally from Pennsylvania, and you had both parents were Baptist ministers. How did you tell your parents, I don't want to be a Baptist minister. I want to be an entertainer? How'd you get out of that?
Let me start with the fact that I grew up in a Baptist family, Northern Baptist. Those are the ones that can dance. And they said to me, "What are you going to do with your life?" And I said, "Well, I think I want to go to Broadway and be an actor." And then I was discovered on Broadway and then brought to television by a producer named Bob Banner, who had discovered Carol Burnett. But my folks' big thing was, of course, what every parent should say, you know, you got to do what makes you, what is your passion?
Right.
And I was a very shy kid, and I became a theater arts major at Denison University in Holland, and that opened up.
Hello?
And so I went to Broadway, and I just gradually became a crazy old liberal.
Wow. I'm having trouble. I hear you guys. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Hey, Joanne.
Maybe I'm not
John
loud enough. I have you on. Should I take it off speaker and just?
No, you're fine, John.
No, he's not, Joanne. He's breaking up really bad.
Speaker. I thought it was me breaking up. I'm so sorry. I thought it was me.
Okay, well let me. I was doing this so I could. Sorry, but what am I doing now? So here I am. Is this better?
That's better.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought it was me. I thought it was my connection.
No. I'm sorry. I was holding my guitar, and maybe that was too much. So now I'm not on speaker. Here I am. Hello.
Hi. So you leave Pennsylvania. Obviously, it didn't happen overnight. So did they constantly drive you crazy? Like, we told you so. You should have been. You know.
No, actually, I got very lucky. I after I graduated from college, I went to New York City as a theater arts major, and I auditioned for a Broadway show, and everybody else looked like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, and I was this clean-cut, amazingly wholesome and clean kid and for my conservative folks and all, and I looked very different. So when I got to New York, I was like something out of the Book of Mormon, and I auditioned for a part of a very clean-cut kid in a musical that was starring Bert Lahr. Bert Lahr was the Cowardly Lion in Wizard of Oz, and this was his last musical. This was 1963, and a long time ago, and a lot of your listeners probably weren't born, I look so different. I think that was the thing. Yes, I could sing. You know, I studied voice and acting at Denison in Ohio, and then so I got to New York very well prepared, and I got a job right away in a Broadway musical, and I played the juvenile, and a producer, Bob Banner, saw me and said, "I'm going to put you on television." So.
Right.
I hosted the Andy Williams Summer Replacement in 66, and then that led to playing in Las Vegas and to doing Walt Disney movies, and then all concerts, and I always toured in Broadway shows while I was doing television at night. I began hosting the Tonight Show for Carson. I sat in for Carson.
I know you were on a lot. Yeah, what did you do? Like 87 shows.
Yeah, I hosted more nights than any other singer. Of course, most of the time it was comedians.
Yeah.
But I used to sing that opening thing with Johnny, and that was great. And then that led to my hosting the Hollywood Squares. I guested on Squares in the 70s. And then in the 80s, they asked me to host the Hollywood Squares. Peter Marshall was the great host who was the first one. But I was the second host, and then Tom Bergeron was the third. For people who don't know the Hollywood Squares, it's a game show played like tic-tac-toe with a lot of celebrities. And I met more celebrities than I'd ever known in my life.
And your answers, you were so believable. Your answers, they were wrong as hell, but you made it sound like you were telling the truth.
Yeah, that was when I was guesting on the show. But I think the real challenge was when I did my talk show and when I hosted Hollywood Squares was to try to make the stars shine, make the stars look good.
Right.
And that's a real trick for an entertainer to focus on other people. So that was a good trick to learn in my talk show and hosting Squares. And I hosted a show called That's Incredible with Fred Parkinson and Kathy Lee Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was cool because it was amazing stuff, like Ripley's Believe It or Not. We were the first of the reality shows and stuff. But all along, I've always liked performing live.
Mm.
And now what I'm doing is my one-man show with my guitar in smaller venues. And I'm a singer-songwriter storyteller. And I talk a lot about the days when I was on television a lot. But you know, I'm in my 70s now, and
I can't believe your long hair.
Yeah.
It looks great, but yeah,
that's the thing. My hair is the only thing my body can still produce. that was a joke, JoJo.
I know.
But I guess my hair just keeps growing. I'm like an albino chia pet. Keeps growing.
Yeah.
My wife said, why don't you cut your hair? You look ridiculous. And I said, honey, I'm in my 70s. I don't want to look like an old man.
Mm.
She said, great. Now you look like an old woman. yeah, I got my hair. And I love entertaining, doing my songs and doing my shows. So,
you're incredible at it, and I'm sure you're going to continue to do it till you can't do it anymore because you are wonderful. I got to ask you, when you were with Bob Banner, did he happen to put you on Carol Burnett? I don't recall.
Yeah, he put me on. Yeah, I was on Carol Burnett probably three or four times.
I don't remember. Watch it all the time. I watched it all the time.
Maybe I wasn't that good. Memorable. No, it was great. And Carol Burnett kind of took me under her wing, and she's an incredible person.
I love her.
She's so real. She's very honest and straightforward and, of course, incredibly funny. Bob Banner said to me, advice that I might give to other entertainers, young entertainers, and I think it still holds up. I started out, you know, 55, 57 years ago, but I think his idea was, yes, there are careers like where somebody does one thing and does it very well, like Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett is a great singer, does it great. He does one thing and does it very well. Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis realized early on that his thing was to make this incredible sound and make these hit records, and he did it very well, and he honed in on that. So he was like a spear or a knife.
Right, but you do everything great. How do you settle on one?
That's what I mean. Bob Banner said to me, I think you should be a Swiss Army knife or like a pitchfork with many prongs. Mm. And so he said, it's versatility, I think, that you ought to go for. He said, that's what the major careers like Sinatra and Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and all the people. They were film actors. They were singers. They were comedians. They were serious. They did it all. They were hosts. They hosted shows. And so that's what I've done. I did a series with Sally Field where I played her husband, and where she could read my mind. I've lots of albums out.
The Girl with Something Extra, I think it was?
The Girl, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
And then, so I've done everything from Shakespeare to silly Broadway musicals. So, yeah, that's what kept me, I think that's what's kept me going and has kept me loving this business and the people in it. It's the variety. So it's been very good to me because of the variety. So I still study voice and guitar and still my best show is still ahead of me. But I think if I'm talking to a group of people who are older people, I say you want to find out what you love doing. And I find out that I love playing the guitar and singing. I just to me it's better than sex.
I didn't know you play guitar.
Yeah, I sing with guitar in the show. Mm-hmm. It's just my favorite thing to do and I realized that and I thought, well, I'm just gonna do that. I don't care if there are 50 or 75 people out there as opposed to 2,000. I love doing this and writing songs and doing comedy and doing oldies but goodies. So I think everyone should do that as you get up in years, find out what you love to do and do it. Don't put it off and don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. If you love doing it, you will make it work and you will make enough money to be happy, but go for it. Do what you love doing and don't let anybody get in your way. Be the captain of your ship.
Right. And I'm telling you, you're absolutely right, 100%. And you know what? You are just multifaceted, multi-talented. You can do anything, and you could back then, and you're doing it now. I mean, you've never wavered from what you do. I mean, you are a fantastic talent. And I would love to see you myself in person because, I mean, like I said, I remember watching you on TV all the time. I mean, you couldn't turn a TV on without seeing you somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. I had a manager say to me, you're overexposed. I was on every night with my talk show, every day. And then at night I'd be on That's Incredible or the variety shows. And so, but it's been a confusing career in that, like, you didn't know that I play guitar. I always did a guitar segment in my Vegas act. But now I'm doing a show with my guitar. But so it's been confusing. What is he? Is he a game show host? Is he an actor? Is he a singer? Is he? Mm-hmm. Well, the fun
he's
of it.
Entertainer.
Is,
he's an entertainer.
I guess sometimes. Yeah. I did. I must say, I've been. My son lives in Mexico, so I've been doing shows. I sing songs in Spanish as well.
Really?
But yeah. But in my show, I occasionally do some anti-Trump stuff. I don't know. I know you don't want to get political on your show, but I became controversial in my show this past year, and I must say, I several people got mad at me a couple shows back because I did too many Trump jokes. Trump is just so embarrassing and such a disgusting man. I would love it if he's a one-term president. Get rid of this guy.
We'll have to talk about that at another time, you and I.
Okay.
I agree with you 100%, but we'll leave that there.
You'll probably cut that out. Yeah.
No.
All right.
But hey, it's your show. You do what you got to do to entertain the audience. And if you turn them off, you turn them off. But I'm sure you turn more on than you do off. So.
The majority of my audience are people that want this country to be great, and so it's great. Yeah.
There is one thing I didn't know about you and definitely did not remember, that you did a nude centerfold for Cosmopolitan.
No, see, now wait a minute. No, it wasn't nude. It wasn't nude. No, it wasn't nude. I was wearing a towel. I was wearing a towel that was very appropriately draped. I was the follow-up to Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah. So I was the second one.
I didn't know you did that. Did you do that to, like, shake your squeaky clean image?
I had a manager that said, you know, Helen Gurley Brown wants to do a follow-up to in Cosmo. She wants to do not a nude. It was not a nude photo. I was wearing a towel. But it wasn't like Playgirl. But I was Mr. February, which is the shortest month. But I'm trying to get jokes in here.
I heard it. I said, but I'm bump.
Okay. At that time I was doing Hollywood Squares, and I took the centerfold back and showed it to Paul Lynn. At that time, I was just guesting on chairs, and Paul Lynn was sitting next to me, and he said on the air, he took one look at my centerfold, and he said, "Wow, you should have been the ambassador to underdeveloped countries."
I can picture him saying it too.
Yeah, he was very funny. So that was a mistake. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And
oh, really? You think that was a mistake?
Oh, sure. I mean, nobody wanted to see me half naked.
Oh, come on.
I've never been a sexy thing like a Tom Jones or an Engelbert. I don't play off of that, and it was kind of stupid. I don't take myself that seriously to be a sex symbol. It's just not. But my manager thought it was a good idea, and to put a staple in my belly and to have it be a fold out thing.
Mm.
And so anyway, that was silly. But yeah, I did do that. Yeah.
Would you consider doing another talk show nowadays? I mean, I'm stupid question. I'm sure you'd say yeah, but.
Well, Oh, my phone. They call me every day saying, "John, please come back to television. I just can't even keep track of all these calls that are coming."
And why don't you?
I'm kidding. Nobody calls.
Nobody calls me.
I admit I'm loving doing my live shows, but no. No, television is not begging me to come back right now.
But would you if you could?
Of course.
Have the opportunity?
What kind of show?
What kind of show?
The number is 973-805-3804. Or just call Joe. JoJo will refer you to me.
Yeah.
The truth is, I enjoyed my talk show. I did it for 2 years. Mm. I took over from Mike Douglas in the daytime, did it for 2 years for Westinghouse. Mm. I enjoyed that time more than anything I've done, or as much as anything, because every week I had a couple of authors. I took a course in speed reading so I could read the books faster. I interviewed authors, politicians, big stars, Jane Fonda, Betty Davis, of course, Carol Burnett. Anybody who was big anywhere came on my show. So it was a very exciting time to do that.
Right.
Plus, I sang on it,
right.
Which I wouldn't do again. I think that's confusing to an audience. I think either you've got to – I don't know whether I would or not, but I enjoy
– Jimmy Fallon does it. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah, that's right. I enjoy that time because, again, you meet a lot of famous people, and you – and all these issues, everybody's got some journey that they're on, and it's just it's fascinating, the information that you come across. So I enjoy those years the best. Yeah.
What do you think about the talk shows that are on now? You care?
Well, I think they're great. I think we.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, Stephen Colbert is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert is just outrageously funny to me, and how they can do that. Remember, they're doing a new monologue
every day,
night. Of course, Rachel Maddow, who's not a talk show, but she's doing a 1 hour monologue every night.
Yeah.
It's amazing the material that television eats up. But yeah, I think talk shows are better than Seth Meyers is great, and Jimmy Fallon and all the guys are doing a great job. I think it's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, I know you write your own music. Are you going to be putting out any new music for folks?
I have a CD that within the last couple of years. I sell a lot of CDs at my show.
Cool.
Although, you know what? Not as many CDs. People download them. My website is johndavidson.com,
mm-hmm.
and people download my stuff from my past albums. And they also sign up for cameos. I'm doing a lot of cameos. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, you walk-ons, you mean? Or on
no, yeah, well, yeah, that's a cameo. But this is, you go to a website called Cameo, and you look up John Davidson, and
mm-hmm.
I will do a message to you for some. It's for some, they're very cheap, or at least mine are cheap. other people are more money. But I will say happy birthday to somebody for you.
Oh,
I will
nice.
Sing them a song. I'll say Merry Christmas, Happy Valentine's Day, Happy Anniversary. I'll do anything you want me to say for a fee. It's called Cameo. And I do a lot of those. I love doing them. They're
nice.
They're selfie. I do them as a selfie.
Right.
And
right.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Oh, yeah. Man, I wish we could see more of you now.
I think you've seen enough of me.
I just think TV needs to be, you know, we gotta bring it back where it was, at least for an hour sometime, somewhere.
Now, you know what? They tried to do a reunion show of That's Incredible about 6 years ago, something like that.
Really?
And, yeah, and it looked, I mean, we all, Kathy Lee looked great. Fran Tarkington is a great guy, and everybody looked good, and the show is fine, but it looked old. It looked dated. I mean, television has come a long way since the 80s, and so everything has its time and its place. And I'm right where I should be now. I'm doing my live shows and loving it, and writing jokes and comedy songs and singing the hits. And I love doing my show, so I'm doing what I should be doing, and I don't think I'm going to have another chance. I've had my shot at that. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I know you've got the upcoming Martin Bevins this weekend at Bull Run in Shirley, Mass. Now, anything close to me in Jersey or New York that I could maybe run out and see?
I'm playing Birdland. Oh, Mother's Day. I'm playing Birdland for the third time in New York City. Last year, I got the best review at Birdland that I've ever gotten. It just went really well. And I'd love for people to spend Mother's Day. Maybe you don't know who I am, but your mother might. You know?
Oh, you're crazy.
I'm playing Birdland on Mother's Day, May the 10th, this spring. Yeah.
I saw something in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Yep. Oh,
when is that?
Well, it's all on my website on johndavidson.com.
Yeah.
I'm singing somewhere almost every week, so all the dates are there. It's a big schedule.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm gobsmacked in England, they say. I'm starstruck here talking.
Well, you've been great. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to do your show because I've heard a lot about you. I mean, you're on all over the U.S. and all over the world. Maybe you're on in Afghanistan. I don't know where your show goes.
Who knows?
Thank you for having me on. I will never forget you, and I hope you come see my live show.
I'm going to check the website and check that New Hope. I love New Hope. I mean, New Hope, PA. I haven't been there in a long time, so maybe I'll kill two birds. I'll come
thank you,
see
JoJo,
you.
And thank you to John. John doesn't say very much, does he?
John,
no, I don't, because Joanne doesn't give me any chance to step in.
Well,
she just overrides me.
Get out of here. You can talk whatever you want.
But, John, just knowing that you were there, it was very exciting to me, just knowing that someone with that great name is sitting there. Thank you for listening. I hope I haven't
John.
Been too silly.
You're very welcome.
And John, you go forward and have a wonderful career.
I'm so mad at him right now. I'm so mad at him because he knows he could jump in at any time.
No, I think he'd rather talk to girls, and I can understand that. That's okay.
Well, John, thank you so much.
Thank you, JoJo.
I can't tell you what an honor it's been to speak with you today. And like you said, I mean, it's almost like your talk show. I'm in having the thrill of a lifetime doing this.
Well, it's a treat. I appreciate you letting me on. Let's do this with clothes on next time.
Yes.
And I thank you so much for the fun. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. John Davidson,
thank you, John.
So much. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, John Davidson, what a guy. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, my God. That was wonderful. Oh, boy. Do we have Paul on the phone, John?
No, not yet. We're waiting for Paul to call in.
I told him 8:30 because I didn't know how long we were going to go with John because John's got so much to talk about, you know. What a career he's had. I mean, unbelievable.
Amazing career.
Did you see what he looks like nowadays? He's got the long hair.
I did. I didn't recognize him.
I know. I was like, oh, my God, you know.
I remember watching his TV show, right after the Mike Douglas, he took over. I remember watching that.
Yeah, no, he's such a great talent because he's so versatile. He could do everything. I had no idea he played guitar, you know?
Yeah.
And he was good, too. So, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting for Paul, let's just say welcome to our sponsors, and thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines from South Africa. And just a quick reminder, this is your last chance from hearing from us in regard to the Joni Wiener Joni Wiener fundraiser that's going on this Friday, March 6th at 6:30 at Brook Lake Country Club in Florham Park, New Jersey. It's hosted by Al Sapienza from The Sopranos. He'll be the MC, and you can send a check for $50, care of Arlene Lubman Entertainment, 20 Brandon Avenue, Livingston, New Jersey, 07039. The evening of food, fun, and prizes. It's just a great time. I wish I could make it. Unfortunately, I can't. I confirmed today that I cannot make it. But make your check $50 to the Joni Wiener Fund, care of Arlene Lubman Entertainment, 20 Brandon Ave, Livingston, New Jersey, 07039. And that's Brook Lake Country Club on March 6th at 6:30, Florham Park, New Jersey. And, John, how's your week going?
Well, so far so good. But tonight we're having a lot of technical problems with the telephone. I don't know if it's your line, but it's very staticky and it's breaking up. And John was breaking up in
good.
The beginning really, really bad.
Well, yeah, John,
so
thought it was me, but it was John. Yeah, I thought, no, I'm clear as can be. You still hear static now?
I hear static on my end, but it could be my phone. Who knows? You know, it's a big difference.
I lost power last night, by the way. I lost power last night.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah,
it's a shame about those tornadoes in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had no idea. Yeah. If someone didn't post that on Facebook, I had no idea because I haven't watched the news. So I was like, oh, my God, you know. It's horrible. I don't think they get tornadoes, do they, Tennessee?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't recall them getting tornadoes. But, I'm hoping Paul is trying to call us. What I could do.
Did you get a chance, Joanne, to listen to Richard Skipper's show?
No, I didn't. How'd it go?
It went very well, and I was very proud of him that he got everything working all by himself. He was screening calls, he was working the board, and he at the end of the show, I think he became a master at Blog Talk Radio.
Excellent.
He was doing fantastic.
Good for him. No, I lost power, so I couldn't do anything. I went to bed early for the first time, and I can't even tell you. We enjoy going to bed early around here for once, you know. But I don't know if I can try and reach him. Let me see if I can call Paul. Hold on 1 second, okay? One moment.
Okay, we'll let Joanne give Paul a shot.
Yeah, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, you can
talk. I can hear you fine. Okay, I just want to let everybody know if they want to see a nice love story, they can pick up my movie Bigfoot Blood Trap at your Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or I think you can even download it. Spend a special night with your loved one, enjoy a nice love story. I think you'll enjoy it. And then the Bigfoot Blood Trap.
It's a great love story, yeah.
A nice, nice love story, yeah.
Well, I think we have Paul with us. Paul, are you on the line?
Hello from Los Angeles.
Yes, where were you?
Hey,
we've been
Paul.
Waiting for you, darling. We're waiting for you, darling.
What time zone am I in here?
You're supposed to call me at 8:30 East Coast.
Well, here I am. Hello. Hello.
Yes, how are you, sir? Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And what I was going to say is Paul is a movie director, music video director as well, right, Paul?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and your latest movie out is Cherry Future?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's, you want to tell us about it? I think it's based on a true story, right?
It's based on a true story of it's my band, of what we went through to get to where we wanted to go, and it's all the adversities probably crammed into 20 years, actually, into an hour and a half. It's sort of like,
you know, the it's sort of like Purple Rain or a Rocky type movie.
And it's gotten rave reviews. My God, I can't wait to see it. I mean, not only are they raving about the movie, but they're raving about the music as well. And I'm guessing you did soundtrack too. It's all original music, right?
Yeah, it's accumulated over many years of probably close to 1,000 songs I'd written. And I pulled probably 9 of the best songs. And then I started doing the soundtrack. You know, why have someone else do it? Because I have a little bit of classical background. So the soundtrack is completely different than the band music.
And now I'd be remiss if I didn't say I'm terribly sorry for the loss of your brother. My deepest sympathies. I'm so sorry to hear. And just wanted to thank you again for joining us under the circumstances as well. I appreciate it more than you know. But now you started in the industry as a musician, right? As a recording studio music engineer. And how did you wind up doing the film production?
Well, first I want to, talk about my brother. I wasn't going to talk about it, but you brought it up.
No, I just wanted to give my condolences, hon. I'm sorry.
He was a big influence on me, and big age difference between us. And he had moved to New York. Well, before that, he studied, painting in Italy, and then he moved to New York. And he actually became friends with Abel Ferreira and Francis Delia and Mark Johnson. Mark Johnson is actually the producer of Breaking Bad. Now, I'm not sure if he was in New York or not. Menno Meyers. And I was this kid, and he had moved back to L.A., and I had moved in with him. Mm. We had a place in Silver Lake. And these guys, I was just this kid just writing songs, and this punk kid, and they would let me hang out with them. And, I'm sitting there watching movies with Abel Ferreira. I thought he was kind of a crazy dude. All of them were crazy. I thought I was crazy, but I was like kid crazy. These guys were like pretty insane and baldy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how old were you at the time?
Young, I would say.
At the time, not now.
I was like barely 20 years old.
Okay, all right. I'm not 16.
So they were a big influence on me, and I just started writing songs. It wasn't until years later. I mean, it's just, not just writing songs. It's that learning that craft takes a lot. Some people it comes really quick, but usually they had started really early. Like Taylor Swift obviously started when she was in diapers, but some people start later. And it's not how good you play. For me, I found out it was like writing really good songs. Who cares about the solo that you play? Even with Led Zeppelin, they had a great structured song like Stairway to Heaven. But then the solo came was the icing on the cake. It wasn't the other way around. So my point was, it took a lot of years to learn how to write songs. And then to, I guess, have people skills, even put a band together. A lot of people don't realize putting a band together and talking them into, hey, we're going to be famous, we're going to make it, is a very difficult thing. And a lot of people, life happens to, and they'll quit.
Yep.
So all that I learned, living with my brother and stuff. So they, I didn't really teach me. I was just watching and learning and going to places and hanging out with them and learning that stuff. But, and then you had another question. How did I get into film? Or
how did you go from being into music to becoming a film director and an editor and all that? I mean, how did you decide to do this movie, especially?
I think it was natural because my dad always had an 8mm camera and was always filming our vacations and stuff, and he was always directing, and he was always now going back to my dad, directing and teaching me. So subconsciously, I was watching him get to being able to direct people and getting them to do stuff. So I, you know, I guess with this my brother thing, I'd actually dug up some of my dad's old films the other night, and I thought, well, that's my earliest training. My dad directing us as kids and taking all these films. My dad also owned a photography studio where he did portraits for people, and I think he had actually shot the Doors.
Wow.
And the I think the Doors and the Birds. We can never find the Doors photos, but he, you know, we got assigned to a lot of different missions and stuff. So fast forward to the 90s. I used to work at Lockheed Aircraft, and I was not happy. I was making really good money and dressing really nice and had a couple nice cars, and it was just not – something didn't feel right, so I
– What were you doing at Lockheed? What type of work?
Classified stuff.
I'm just wondering if it correlated into what you're doing now, that's all.
Nothing to do with – well, in a way, I ended up learning on the being on the computer and just ordering parts for planes, and actually started to learn the politics of I guess there is a correlation there, politics of the pricing for government parts for planes, and we worked on the Saudi Arabian custom jets for the Purple Rings. So I started to learn probably business politics and how to survive and
in a business industry. Yeah,
I guess that taught me business. So when I moved to LA, I quit that job, and at the same time, I had this plan to. And back then, you could open a recording studio and do demos. You could make a living off just doing demos. So that's what I did. In 90, I had this studio where I did demos for people, and what I'd learned from survival, because there was no more paycheck anymore, it was like, if a client came in, a singer, a country singer or something, you had like a couple minutes to pick up the guitar and structure the song and make them feel confident that you could make them a really good demo. So a lot of them came in, were just singers, and I'm a singer too, and I had so much, by then I had a structured background as a songwriter by then, and some engineering skills, but they all, you know, you think you're hot shit, but it still takes years to get good and get good at your craft. And you learn and you learn and you buy new recording gear, and then you that gets old. Then you get new gear, and then you end up with Pro Tools. So somewhere in the mid-90s, I had a development deal with A&M Records, and I banged out two records. And by that time, the bottom of the music business was sort of falling out, and it's you know, people weren't, there wasn't the same, things were, you know, Napster and stuff happened.
Did you have any success at A&M, or what was going on with the career?
I did not, no. No, it was all, most people would have given up by then, and I just kept going. I thought something was wrong, and it wasn't there yet. It was good, it was great, but it wasn't, so I banked up these two records, and then I was like, I think I took some time off and got into painting like my brother, and, you know, I still did demos because I had to pay my bills, and the turning point was I was doing production. I ended up doing some production for Linkin Park.
Oh, cool.
And I met these guys, and I looked at the set list, and I haven't heard anything yet. No one had heard them yet.
Right.
And I looked at the set list and paper cut. These songs look stupid. This is stupid. And we did sound check, and I was like, holy crap, these guys are really good. Then we played the show, and it was in a parking lot at a Best Buy, I think in Gardena. And these kids came out of nowhere. It was like the Beatles, like a metal band, but they were like the Beatles. People were going crazy. The show was amazing. And I became friends with Brad and Rob, the drummer and guitar player. And the guitar player had a 7-string. And I spent a lot of time by his amp and listening to this incredibly deep sound that was coming out of his amp. And we'd hung out a couple times. And I said, what's with the – how do you get that deep sound? And he goes, and I saw it's a 7-string. And we got into a conversation, and I was like, was it easy to transition a 7-string? And he goes, no, man, it was really easy because you got to get one.
That's
so the next day,
you ran out and bought one. Yeah.
So So that's what turned my everything for me. So the next day I went and bought a cheaper, I think a Carlos Robelli, which I used in Cherry Future until I get my Schecter deal. I used this Carlos Robelli 7-string and started playing with it, and with just the sound just changed. And all of a sudden, I have sort of a lower voice anyways. So I started writing this lower, darker music, like similar to Korn or Deftones. And I really just clicked, and then it got really good. Then we started to get – this is after the whole A&M tragedy.
Right.
But you have to look at those experiences as like a learning experience.
Yeah, right? Of course.
That, but there's more to this story. So we started getting really good reviews, and then it seemed like we were – almost had a deal with Elektra and then Interscope, and then, you know, deals fall through within a couple of days if the stars aren't aligned right.
Right.
So everything fell through, but I knew something was good about this music, and I wasn't about to let it go. By this point, by default, I was going into film production, and I think I did – the first video I worked on was Smooth with Carlos Santana.
Cool, great song.
And I sort of fell into this thing, and I was like, what? $500 and all you have to do is this? And
right.
People don't realize you still have to make money to pay your bills. So I started to get in this production doing music videos. Now, mind you, I already had a little bit of film background in myself, and I could take photos and stuff. So I did that for 13 years, and kept doing my band stuff. And I just had this idea, well, I want to do another record. I've got this new sound, the 7-string. I want to do a record and put it out. But by this time, there's not many labels unless you're Justin Bieber. You know, no one's really going to get behind you. You got to do it. Everyone kind of does it by themselves
right.
these days.
Right, doing on our own, right.
So... well, how about if we put this record in a movie?
Mm.
And I blurted it out. I was actually around Melissa Manchester and Sue Holder. I used to tour with them a little bit, and they looked at me like I was kind of crazy. And then I filmed a short. And by then I was doing little music videos and directing them, and you know, getting better and better. And it's really just comparing your work to the masters, and you could see where you messed up. And where you did good. And then I started learning about cameras and stuff. I did a couple shorts, and then I said, okay, and this is the crazy part. I had, I think that we used seven or nine songs for Cherry Future and spaced them out, like sort of the structure, same as Purple Rain, and put scenes in between those. And that's how the movie came together. I never had a screenplay when I did Cherry Future. It was more like, well, I have these songs, let's space them out, and every song told a story. Let's like run the story into the song and then do the song and run the next story into the next song.
Right.
And it fell into place, and I knew I should have a screenplay, but when you're improvising and you'll have so many actors available or so many locations, I just took real things that happened to us, like the night Jimmy Fallon was partying out of his mind, but he bought me a drink and he said, I really like you. So we put that scene in the movie. And so all the things that happen in a movie, you know, 95% of it's true. What had happened.
Based on your life. Right.
So we just based it around, again, you're condensing like 20 years into an hour and a half. So you want to put the highlights in there.
Yeah.
And the actual girl, Bridget Cavallari, that's the character of my girlfriend. She was a few different people. You have to see the movie to.
Yeah, I can't wait. I really can. I want to see it. And I want to ask, where did the name Cherry Future come up? What is that from? Like, what's it mean, Cherry Future?
I think I was watching The Laws of Attraction. This is some positive affirmation. Just how to be positive and stuff. And I started to get into that. And I realized that all my songs are melancholy and sort of sad. I said, you know, I got to write something happy and positive. Of course, that song still sounds heavy, but Cherry Future was just basically whatever you're thinking now, it's if you're a downer, a Debbie Downer all the time, yeah, you're going to have a crappy negative life. But if you just believe that you can get to something positive.
Oh, I get it. Like the cherry on top. Your future is with the cherry on top type of thing.
No, there was no cherry.
I don't know where cherry future is.
It's more like have a wonderful future is what it means. So cherry is nothing to do with the cherry. It just came out of. I wrote a song called Cherry Future, and that's where the band sort of looked at each other like, whoa, this is different. This is like when Led Zeppelin wrote Cashmere. That was different than their blues-based stuff. Cherry Future was sort of modern and different. I'm like, it's like, hey, cheery, let's get cheery, cheerful. That's where it's coming from.
Got it.
So it's fun to people, because production would spell it wrong and write it on stuff. And, you know, because we were getting guitars shipped to us for the movie and stuff. And I was just sort of laughing. And so many people were talking about Cherry Future, and strangers will walk by me, it's Cherry Future. And I just get a kick out of it because I don't know where that came from. It just came out. When you're mumbling lyrics for the first time, things just sort of come out and you're like, what was that? I want to write it down.
Nice.
So I made it with an I so people wouldn't get it mixed up with the fruit. But throughout the whole movie, it gets unlocked. You have to watch it.
Where can folks watch it, Paul?
It's on Amazon Prime. The best place to watch it, or iTunes movies. I think it's distributed other places. I really can't keep track of all that stuff. But
it's doing well, right? I mean, it's doing well.
It's doing really good. It's featured and stuff, and I mean, it's been a 10-year run. I've been doing press on it for like a couple of years now, and the press is even gaining momentum. And since then, I have a publicist, and we do red carpets. And the reason I can do that now is it's like, oh, that's the guy who's got a movie in Amazon Prime. Well, I have another movie dropping soon about this guitar company. But so there's a lot of things coming, but it just takes, I suppose, if you don't have the mega money machine behind you, it takes a lot longer. So it's tough. Don't try this at home, kid.
I was just reading a few of the reviews. It's like, fun movie to watch. Love the music, cinematography, and the plot. We'll most likely watch it again. Have watched it once, and we'll be watching it again really soon. Great story, amazing cinematography, very high quality for an indie film. Music is fantastic. So I'm looking forward to catching it for sure.
You know, it's funny.
I mean, that's just a few reviews. I mean, we got tons of them.
It's funny because we had students filming, and we used my camera, and I would set the camera and maybe have words with them, you know, like I would set the colors pretty much because we didn't color a lot when we were done. There was not a lot of color correction. I'm more in-house camera. So I supervised everything that the kids shot. And then we would have friends. We even had some of the actors doing the boom mic. Everybody was working. No one was sitting on their ass.
Are you working on anything now, Paul? Anything new to come out soon? Or?
Well, the Charvel movie is finished. That's a big one that I'm not going to think much about, but it's ready to go. It's just going through. They go through several edits, and then we're doing some just getting all the legal stuff, paperwork taken care of. That'll come out next. And Trouble in Heaven is the band in Cherry Future, and we finally released the album on CD Baby in December. And then for legal reasons, they needed two albums. So you got to put another one out if you're going to keep the name Trouble in Heaven, which I just got an email today. We're all good on the trademark. So, all these things set you back a year here, a year there, because, you know, oh, you got to do this now and we need the artwork. And it is a gang of work when you're doing it yourself. But, so I've written the whole next and demoed the whole next album, and that's probably the next phase. There'll be a sequel to Cherry Future. I'm not going to say what I'm calling it yet. And then there's
I'm just now gaining street cred as a filmmaker, and I suppose when I'm introduced, I like it when people just say, "Hey, Paulie's filming music," because that kind of covers it all. Like, if they knew everything I did, they would think this guy is a nut job. That's impossible. No one could do that many things. Yes, they can, folks.
It can be done, right? It can be done. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you and find out more information about you, how can they get in touch with you or find out more about you?
I don't want anyone bothering me.
Well, not bothering you, but to find out more about Cherry Future and your upcoming projects, where can they get them?
No, I'm kidding. I just started Instagram, but I'm on Facebook, and I do get messages. It's funny, I get messages. I get a lot of scripts. Crazy scripts. And what people don't realize is it takes a lot of money to make a movie. And so I'll respond with, "How much you got?" And they're like, "Huh?" Like, did you expect me to pay for your script movie? So they think I'm a big film company, and we're just a tiny independent thing. But it's nice getting messages that, like, this is all through Facebook. They find me, and I've had people with depressed kids and seen the movie and just learned, you know, I tell a lot of kids, don't be such a little pussy. You can't give up. You just got to keep going. If you get beat up, take a nap and get up the next day and go back at it. Don't be a little pussy coward. You know, don't say your stomach hurts. Just keep going.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, kids today are so different. Oh, my God.
They're just so spoiled, and they want stuff quick. And, you know, maybe I did too, but I learned real quick that no one's going to give you nothing. You got to work for it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. But what I want to say, so I'm definitely looking forward to watching it. I know you asked me if I've seen it yet, and unfortunately I haven't. But
I was wondering what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry. It's just been crazy. I mean, the booking guests are always on the phone talking to somebody. And, you know, I'm always busy doing something where I don't have time. I don't even have time to read. I don't know if you heard John Davidson, but he took a speed reading course for his guest that he had on the show. Something I might want to consider doing, because we get a lot of authors on too, and I can't even talk about the book because I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, wow.
So and the name of the your company is Royal Rock Films?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so people could go to royalrockfilms.com as well and see anything coming up and anything past other than Cherry Futures.
I just want to give a shout out to Stephanie. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Lady Stephanie. Gaga.
Oh, Stephanie Germanata. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, tell her I said hello too.
My shout outs are to Melissa Manchester, because she's the one that, mind you, I mentored under like Jesse Torero and Christopher Robinson. These two directors in L.A., and when I say mentored, I could ask them questions. They weren't sitting there teaching me. I was getting paid to do production, but I would absorb, and these guys are really nice to me, and even Jesse, I still text this day, and I'll ask him questions, and he'll give me a really simple answer, and I'm like, and I'll just go, yeah, I knew I was right. So Melissa Manchester gave me my start as I had – a lot of people ask, well, how did you get started? First of all, I did production. I watched for a lot of years and just watched and listened and saw how these big productions went. I just learned about lenses and cameras and stuff. And again, people said, how did you get all these big clients? Well, I did Melissa's first video. I did it for free and I showed it to her in pieces, and she just kind of jaw dropped and says, "This is cool." And I finished it and gave it to her, and we put it out on YouTube, and it's called Angel's Dance, and I think it's still out there. It's a really cool little video. And nothing happened for a couple of years, and then I got a call from her manager saying, "Melissa wants you to do a video. Here's the budget, here's the song. We want to shoot it in like a month." And that was like kind of my first you know, big Grammy winning star. Mind you, I had been working for Lady Gaga and Pussycat Dolls and all these other.
Yeah, what'd you do with the Lady Gaga and Pussycat Dolls? Their videos, or?
I did production on Alejandro, that video, and I did production on this mini movie called Guy, which is like three songs put together, and we filmed at Hearst Castle. And she was the director, and I spent like a week with her. But the thing is, since that was like a mini movie, I got a credit on IMDb, and that helps your cred. You start to build up credibility, like, cool, because you can't really just go straight to being a director unless your dad is Steven Spielberg. Someone has to have power to put you in that position. So you'd have to have done something. So collecting all these credits was building my confidence in my street cred, and people would, you know, because you can check on any director or producer and see what they've done.
Right.
And you can tell if they're full of shit. Like, you can just check them out. You can Google pretty much anyone nowadays and find out if they're for real or not.
Right.
So then so Melissa Manchester, Lady Gaga, it was Muse. It was a long list of stuff that I started to do. And I started to, didn't like, when you work on a big crew like that, it's really stressful. And it's usually the stress of the hours and working with people that are, you know, everyone's got an ego, and, you know, it's not always fun working with some of these people, and some are really fun, but I just sort of wanted to branch out. I'd rather work in a smaller crew.
Right.
Instead of these big 3,000 people stressed out, be there at 4 a.m. and, you know, the egos and the tension. It was usually tension with someone trying to feel useful on the set, and just they're just causing trouble. So I started to branch away from doing production with the big, unless. So I will only do it now if I'm a producer or a director. I will not. I'd rather work with a small crew and have it be a fun set. I mean, I'm fun to be with. I'm very intense, but I would never, like, I don't degrade people or yell at them unless it's something funny. So I'm that's just the way I work. And some directors do work like that. Some directors, nothing phases them. Those were my favorite directors, and they were usually the best.
Right.
So that's our, so meanwhile, I'd been, for Cherry Future, I couldn't do, I mean, things don't always go the way you want. The thing that didn't go the way I wanted is I didn't know ideas. It was going to take years to get into these, because I'm, you know, I'm with big league networks now. Well, you know, I'm nobody to them. So to get in, you're like the new kid.
Right.
And you're going to take a beating. So, but I'm starting to crack through and get in with the big dogs.
Good.
And it does take time, and, you know, some people it happens to really fast, and other people it just, especially now, there's so many people trying to get in the business.
And all, you know, if your work is good, then that's when they come a knocking. So that's great. That's great. Well, congratulations on that, and all the best to all the future projects you're working on. And I'm looking forward to seeing Cherry Future. Maybe I'll check it out this weekend. I'm looking for a movie Saturday night to watch, so maybe I'll check it out for, Saturday on my. I just got a Fire Stick, believe it or not. I need a new TV, but I got the Fire Stick instead. So, it's all brand new to me.
Everyone has the TVs with Amazon, Netflix. It's the smart TVs already have.
Yeah, I know. I said for Valentine's Day, do I buy myself something for $20 or something for $600, $800? So I went for the $20, you know.
You can get smaller ones, too. They're not that much.
Yeah, no, if I'm going, I'm going for the big one. So, you know, but it's coming. I will get it. But, well, listen, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. It was great, and a pleasure speaking with you. And, you know, we'll talk again for sure. And I just want to thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Cherry Future on Amazon and anywhere, basically. Not iTunes. Where's the other one?
It is on.
It is iTunes?
Yeah, it's on iTunes Movies too, yeah.
Cool. And look for his new project coming out, which we can't discuss. But Cherry Future, I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
So, yeah, there's Trouble in Heaven is on Facebook. And I'm
Cool.
and there's a cherry. So, yeah, all three of those, the movie, me, and the band are on Facebook. That's the best
Excellent.
Way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. Well, that's great. Well, good luck, and thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure, and we will talk soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Take care, Paul. Thank you. All right, folks. Paul Gervasi, director, and he's got some new project coming up. Probably very good, I'm sure. And I can't wait to see the Cherry Future. I'm a movie because it's based on his life as a musician and how he got to where he is now. So, and the reviews are just phenomenal. So it's got to be good. So I'm gonna go check it out. So, Johnny Boy.
Okay, Joanne, I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yeah. So thank you to our guest, Mr. John Davidson, the fabulous John Davidson. Thank you so very much. Check him out March 7th, Bull Run Restaurant in Shirley, Massachusetts on March 7th. And our sponsors, thank you to the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa. Thank you. And don't forget to try and get your tickets to the Joni Wiener Fund this Friday, March 6th at 6:30 at the Brook Lake Country Club in Florham Park, New Jersey. John, thank you so much, as always. And we have some great guests coming up. Oh, my God. Wait till we announce those. You are not going to believe it. So we will be on Sunday, John? Yes, we're on Sunday.
Yeah, we should
right?
be. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I think so. My calendar's way across the other side of the room, so I can't grab it. But
make sure you put it on the right month.
Yes, don't worry. I'm getting better. Hey, I'm busy. What can I say? I'm a busy gal, you know? So, all right,
okay,
Johnny.
We'll see everyone
you.
Sunday night.
Yep, have a good night, everybody. Take care. Thanks
good
for listening.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.